Here in Exodus 33 and 34, and then in Deuteronomy 32, you've got this idea of God's name being declared and revealed. God declares his name to Moses, and then in his maturity in Deuteronomy, Moses says, "And I will declare his name." So there's a mutuality going on here between God and man. And in Exodus 33, this thing begins with God saying in verse 14 that because I know you and I know you by name, therefore I will agree to what you've asked and I will reveal my name to you. So because I know you by name, God says, I will declare my name to you, in response to his Moses' desire to have this sort of more intimate vision of God. And so what exactly goes on here? So that was verse 17, I know you by name. And so because of that, in response to the request to show me your glory, God says, verse 19, I will proclaim the name, I will declare the name of Yahweh before you. And the name is not simply a name, be it pronounced Jehovah, Yahweh, or whatever. All the angst over how to pronounce the name is absolutely misplaced, because the essence of God's name is his personality, is his character. So because he knows Moses by name, he says, I will proclaim my name to you. And then in Deuteronomy 32, we have Moses saying, and I will declare that name as well. So, the name is essentially God's characteristics. It begins in 33, verse 19, I will proclaim the name of Yahweh before you, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So, the allusion is to the I will. I will be all the things that I am by character. And you see in verse 19 that the first thing on the list is grace. That is essentially who God is, that he wants to show us his saving grace. And this is his glory, because the revelation of the name, God himself passing by, his glory being revealed, etc., this is all one and the same thing, his presence. And so when you come to chapter 34, you have then the actual declaration of who God sort of really is. Yahweh proclaims the name of Yahweh in verse 5 when he descends in the cloud. And he lists who he is, verse 6, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness or grace for thousands, forgiving iniquity, but not clearing the guilty and visiting the sin of the fathers on the children, etc. Now, the essence of God's name then is love, grace, and forgiveness, although that is not to say that he does not judge sin. That must never be forgotten. And so, we all struggle with this ultimate question, will I be saved? Will I be there in the end? And that really is a question about who God essentially is. And I suppose it's very hard to rid ourselves of the impression that God is somehow very distant, who is facing off against man over an open Bible and saying, well, look, you've got to do what I say, and if you do, then we'll see how you go at the day of judgment, and if you get to a certain point, then I will accept you into my kingdom, but you'll find out then. You see, that is not at all the picture that is presented in the Bible. The foremost characteristic of God is his grace. You saw that in 33 verse 19, and you see it again here in chapter 34. A merciful and gracious God. This is his lead characteristic. He is abundant in kindness and truth. And the truth that is in view is his grace and his forgiveness. And so he desperately does want to save us. This is the essence of his name. And when the Lord dies on the cross, he prays the prayer of John 17 just before. And at the end of that prayer in John 17, verse 26, he says to God, I have declared your name and will declare it so that the love with which you have loved me might be in them, his followers, us. So he's alluding to this, obviously. Jesus is saying that this great declaration of God, of his character, his glory, his presence on Sinai, this has been declared by him, by Jesus. And he declared it in the life that he lived, in the years that he lived as a human being on this earth, showing absolute love and patience and forgiveness and desperate desire to save people. And he says, I have declared it and I will declare it. And I think that I will declare it refers to his death on the cross, because there you really see the quintessence of the name of Yahweh, this desperate desire to show grace and salvation and forgiveness that came really to its ultimate term in the death of God's Son, covered in blood and spittle, on a tree trunk, on that hill outside Jerusalem, on that day in April, on that Friday afternoon. That was the ultimate declaration of God's name. And the result of that, as Jesus said in that prayer, he's going to declare the name so that the love with which you have loved me might be in them. You can't perceive who God really is and how that was manifested to its ultimate quintessential term in the death of his Son on the cross without having an upwelling of love within you for God, for Jesus, and of course for all those that are in him. As John says, you cannot say you love God if you do not love your brother whom you have seen. And so we then are to, in our turn, declare this name, this glory. And that is the significance of Moses at the end of his life, when he again is trying to assure a weak, doubting and sinful Israel that they really can enter the kingdom. And he says, I will declare God's name. And I think he does that simply in assuring them of forgiveness and of grace, and that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And this idea of reflecting on the glory is, of course, seen in Moses himself, because he, as we see in Exodus 34, he has the glory, the physical glory of God, shining off his face. And in so many words, he says, as I say in Deuteronomy 32, and I will declare that name. He is going to do what Yahweh had shown him. And 2 Corinthians 3 builds on this. We each, with unveiled face, reflecting the glory of the Lord as in a mirror. So I think the idea is that we are each in the position of Moses, which was an amazing idea for folks in the first century from a Jewish background, to think that Moses was not just some sort of star, some sort of stained glass window figure, but he was actually a real example to emulate. And we therefore behold the glory of the Lord Jesus, which is the glory of God, that perfect character, that supreme manifestation of love and grace and forgiveness and judgment and justice. And that shines off our face as it did on the unveiled face of Moses. But he says, we see this in a mirror. Well, a mirror reflects you. So you look in the mirror, and instead of seeing you, you see him. And we are changed, Paul says, from glory to glory. In other words, that this is an ongoing process until the image that you see in the mirror, bit by bit, is no longer you, but him. It is all about him, manifested through us. And this is the ongoing process that we are going through. But of course, it requires us to be focused upon the Lord Jesus and upon his character and personality, which is the glory of God, which is the character of God, which is the name of God. And I can only say that that means that the essence of being Christian is not so much simply Bible study for its own sake. It is not getting doctrine pure. Essentially, although all those things have their part to play, the essence is to be focused upon the Lord Jesus as a person and upon his character. I'll repeat to you some advice that Harry Whittaker gave me in my youth, and it is that always in our lives we should be reading the Gospels. That the Gospels, the personality of Jesus, should always ever be before us. That is the essence of being a Christian, to be focused upon him and to perceive the glory of God, the characteristics of the name of Yahweh that were reflected from him, so that we also can declare that name, as Moses puts it, or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 3, that bit by bit we reflect the glory of the Lord to others.